views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. Yes, you are on air.
Hello, this is welcome in to the Lotus Place tonight. We're looking forward to each and everyone being with us tonight. I'd like to say hello to all my listeners. This is Delta Cuckoo hosting for Black Rose tonight. And we got a lot of great topics we're going to be talking about tonight. But most of all, let's start off right now what's going on in Paris right quick. They just had a suicide bombing in Paris. And they were so coordinated. They hit in 7 places at the same time. Now they're saying over 140 people are dead. And the first thing I hear the news people saying on TV, like Fox News, different ones saying that the reason all this is going on, and I kind of agree with them too, kind of in a sense, said that it's because United States went over there and bombed those countries and took all of those people out of leadership, then turned back around and did not do anything about it when the country began to fall apart because there's no leadership over there. Now, they supposed to have been killed. Jihad Jadi, whoever that is, it's the man supposed to have been going around cutting the heads off. They supposed to kill him last night. So this all in retaliation for them killing Jihad Jadi. So this is what they're saying. This is what they are saying. All this is because of Jihad Jadi, because United States supposed to have been killed him last night, and he's from Paris. So they saying that the countries over there have no leadership, and the people are just running wild. And this is how ISIS and everybody begin to form, because you took the people like Saddam Hussein and different ones who rule with an iron fist, and then allow them to rat their heads up. Now you don't have nobody over there in authority. Now everybody's fighting for power over there. And this is how ISIS and different ones come about. ISIS want to set their rules. Another one want to set their rules. And we just got ourselves chaos. And, you know, my heart go out to all the people over there. That 140 people dead. And they think it's probably even more.
Delta Cougar, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you good.
Okay, I was saying something earlier, but
okay.
I was on mute.
Okay.
Yes, that's a tragedy. That is a tragedy that all of this is happening, and it seems like wherever we go, we leave a trail of blood and chaos. You know.
Is that Sister Aja? Was that Sister Aja speaking?
Yes. Hi, Scotty.
Greetings. And I know y'all are not used to running that switchboard, and if there are any other normal panelists or guests that want to comment, hit *61, and then that'll put a question mark next to your phone number, and the moderator will know to unmute your mic. Sister Aja, I just wanted to say, like we were talking about the other night about language and stuff, we black folks need to be careful when we start talking about that we, because we didn't do nothing. The United States government did. I just wanted to share
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely right. I really don't want to be included in that we stuff either.
Okay.
So, yes.
You're absolutely right.
And then the, yeah, and so well, far the as they are concerned, I'm not even a citizen the way I'm treated. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The
United States,
we're here. Chaos. They just they went over there trying to do their will on other people. You can't go to another man's country and try to tell another man how to run his people when you can't even run your own country hard.
Yeah, running somebody else's house when your house is a mess, a total mess.
And then also let me give you some couple more topics. Going back to the policeman that's in Louisiana, they had another thing on him yesterday, and it come out that the young baby, that they couldn't figure out how he knew the man, but now they put it together. The man.
So they say. That's a cougar. So they say we have to be careful. This is what they are reporting.
This is what they're reporting. They send the young lady to the baby. She is saying that the daddy, that the man, one of the policemen, was trying to date her, and he had came to her house. This is what the lady alleged, that the policeman had come to her house. Well, first she said he started messaging her on Facebook, and he began to message her and asked her for a date. She replied no, that she was in a relationship and she was living with someone. She said the next thing she know, the guy, the policeman, shows up at her house. And she told her boyfriend, and her boyfriend and him got in an argument. And that's how he knew, they knew each other, but that's how they knew each other. Because the daddy to the baby told the man, stay away from my house, I better not catch you back there anymore. So when this come up for him and the girlfriend was into it at the club, this was the perfect opportunity for him to go and do what he want to do. And this is what happened.
This is what she alleges.
Now,
first of all, knowing how people can be, she's on the outside telling her story, and he's on the inside locked up. I'm not taking any blame or any wrongdoings off away from him by any means, because for one thing he's a cop, and they have been known to be really involved in spousal abuse. That's just a fact. So I'm thinking she did have a little something going on with him, because he knew where she lived. Cops can find out a lot of information too about people, but I just kind of hesitate to believe that he just randomly appeared at her doorway. I really do feel that she actually met with him, and she may have decided she didn't want to see him anymore, or maybe he became aggressive, which cops can be when they're in a relationship. But I think it's a little bit more to it, and I think the average person should know that it's a little bit more to it than what she's saying, because she's not going to tell the public everything. you know, because she would insinuate herself if she did, because she may wind up in jail. So naturally, she's going to say, well, you know, why was she on the Facebook hooking up anyway when she lives with somebody? That's my question.
And this same policeman, he was arrested back here a couple years ago. He was arrested for two rapes. For two rapes. And this is,
I'm not
and
shocked.
And this is documented. And he was alleged for two rapes. Then also, he turned around and he got out of both of them. And because his daddy works at the district attorney office, his daddy works up in there. And
there's always a connection.
That is correct. And so this is one of our hot topics. You know, if anybody want to comment on this, this one that we are talking about tonight. Then also, our main topic tonight is we want to talk about the students. And we want to really talk about the students. I know Ashir's Black Rose is traveling, but I just sent a link, and I sent a link to her where this young black lady made a video, and she's crying, and she's saying out in St. Louis, Missouri, she says that they are hiding in their dorm rooms. Because the KKK, she said, nobody's reporting this. And she said they are hiding in their dorm room because the white people had came on campus and chunking bricks and trying to hurt and kill them.
Which campus was this?
This is where the kids had the rally.
Missouri?
In Missouri.
Missouri campus, okay. They're having them all over now.
And the young lady made a video, and she was crying so hard, and she said nobody's reporting on it. She said all because the people stood up and took a stand, and now they're afraid to come out of their dorm room.
Oh, and you mean sad. since they took
happened.
A stand? Oh, okay.
Since they took a stand, they're afraid to come out. She said they was on their campus throwing bricks just the other day, throwing bricks, and they was afraid to come out their room.
Now, see, you know what? If the circumstances were reversed, blacks was throwing throwing stones at the white students, they would have the military out there. Yesterday, really, for protection and to round up those students.
And that's
you
exactly
know they,
what
that,
the
you
young
know
lady
that they
said.
Know about this.
That's exactly what the young lady said. That she said they need the National Guard and different ones out there. But see, they don't want to do that for protection. They do not want to do this because they don't want to upset the white man. And a lot of the whites are bitter and angry because they fired the man, and that's why they that's why they're so angry. I know.
You know, and you know what's interesting? What another angle that
see.
I
do we have anybody in queue on chime in? Have anybody Campbell Brown? Anybody called in? Because I can't see. Have anybody called in?
You know what?
Well, I'll help you out, ladies. I'm watching the board. 612, your mic is open. Again, anybody that wants to comment or have a question for our host tonight or any of the panelists, just hit star 61, and I will unmute your mic.
Okay, and this is what's going on. And a young lady said that she was hiding in her dorm because she's in, and it just broke my heart. She was crying so hard, and she was saying, "Where are the people now? Where are the reporters? Why nobody saying anything? Nobody's on the news saying anything about we afraid to come out of our room. And then also, they trying to, I saw on CNN, they trying to say it wasn't even those swastikas. This young man made all this up. Are they stupid? Are they crazy? They are crazy. What person gonna make up that they being tormented? Unless
exactly.
You're crazy.
Yeah, they just don't want to face it. And they're very upset that their little college has been highlighted and put into the national news. They're very upset about that. Europeans who are doing all this oppression and everything, they know that it's wrong. They know that they shouldn't do it. This is old to them. This is very old to them. The fact of the matter is that the cover has been yanked off of them. And so now it's like, oh God, we have the spotlight, you know. They cannot stand being humiliated and embarrassed.
Ladies, we
you
have
know,
a
go ahead.
I'm sorry, we have a caller from 808. I'm not sure if this one of the regular panelists or a person with a question or a comment, but 808, your mic is unmute. Muted.
Okay.
Yeah, this is 808 from Hawaii. This is 808 from Hawaii. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you good. What do you think about the college campus and the parents? What do you think about the situation? What do you think? What's going on?
Well, what I think is that the reason why the National Guards and all of those policemen is not doing anything because those kids are their children.
Mm-hmm. They sure are.
So now they're not going to go and beat up on there or arrest their own family members.
No, they're not.
So that's what we have to understand. And we need to put that out in the forefront to further expose who they are.
Yes.
Yeah, so we need to further expose them by letting the public and the people know that these are children and grandchildren of the very same people who supposedly be protecting us who supposed to be holding the law down. And my other comment is that I think the whole nation, the whole African nation needs to study law because that is a universal language that's brought into one language. And that would cut down a lot of confusion for us as black people with a lot of different views of things. Because once we understand law, then we have one universal language that everybody can understand. This is worldwide. The law system is worldwide, so we all need to study that. And if we all able to study law, all of us on this panel would be able to know how to talk to each other in all the legalese that we need to express.
May I speak to that point? To the caller 808's point, you are exactly right, but we also need to expand our understanding of international law and not just limit ourselves to U.S. law. Because like H. Rap Brown said, their laws keep us down. All right. And so, you know, we see that they're not practicing justice under the law, equal justice under the law. And we need to expand and understand what our international rights are as an oppressed people. And we have a right to resist by any means necessary. And that's codified in international law. but also and to the point that you were speaking about, so that we understand each other and we're on the same page. I had wrote an article of several months ago, Tim Wise, the so-called anti-racist who goes to all these black colleges and universities getting paid handsome amounts of money to talk about racism as a white man. He falsely put out some information saying that people have a right under freedom of speech to yell racial slurs at you under First Amendment. That's protected speech. And so I did the research on it, and there was a 1942 Supreme Court case called Kaplinsky versus New Hampshire, and that is what's known as fighting words. And how long have we said that the word nigger, if you call us a nigger, them fighting words? Well, that's actual legal terminology that the Supreme Court established in 1942. And if you even Google, you can Google arrested for racial slurs, and you'll find that people get arrested all the time for racial slurs. They might be arrested under breach of peace or harassment or some similar thing. But some states even have laws that say, like, racial intimidation is one. Michigan has. And there are other states with those laws, and those laws are on the books. And so we need to understand that. And a lot of times these police officers, for example, here in my home county, in a city called Gastonia, they had some white men with their Confederate flags. This was when, you know, the flag was coming down in South Carolina. They were all in their trucks and stuff, and they came across some teenagers and started chasing these little black teenagers. And the police came and said, well, they didn't break the law. There's nothing we can do. You know, but that's a lie. That's a lie. Under North Carolina law, they have a statute called harassment. They have a statute for stalking. And so those white cops just didn't want to like the caller said, didn't want to go after their cousins or their brothers and whatnot. So I just wanted to speak to that point you made.
Yeah, and then also I was reading something. I think it's August 19th. I believe it's 1781 or 1780 Act. That particular law states that all Negroes and mulatto children that was freed from slavery, they have a right for redress. Not only do they have a right for redress, but it also states that any person, so-called slave master or their friends or whoever, treated a person, a Negro or a mulatto person as a slavery evilly, then that person has a right for redress in the same manner. The exact same manner, the way that they treated you, we have that right to treat them the same way. That's a law. And
this is August 1781.
And if you also, you know, that's why I say we need to understand law, because if we have law dictionaries, we understand the way our the laws work, then we can begin to have. This is why these people is laughing at us, because they know we don't know the law. This is why they can use any kind of lawyer against us, even our own lawyers, because they know we don't know the law.
Right.
And they can tell us anything. We could protest all we want to,
but
at the time.
But excuse me, my brother, I don't mean to interrupt, and then we can go right back. I just want to say a quick question. But even when we have when we know the law, a lot of times they don't even recognize the law. They do what they want to do.
But that's okay. What my thought is on that is that we can, you know, if we all unify, we can create laws, we can document our own laws, we can document all of these things. We can document them accordingly to the laws and the international laws. And then if we have enough, we can present this to the International Criminal Court. We can do all of these things, and the more people understand laws, the more we have one unity all across the board.
I agree with you. I agree. I have always felt that, for one thing, where are our black attorneys who fight for, you know, social justice? Because there are laws out there that are available for us for protection. They are breaking a lot of laws.
A half our black lawyers got white women on their arm, and they ain't been agreeing.
Well, even
their half of them became Uncle Tom.
Let me give y'all an example. Let me give y'all an example of what the brother talking about that I seen was successfully done. If you look at the Tamir Rice case, those activists, and I think they, you know, had their own attorney or whatnot, they used a little known law to take that case before the judge, before a magistrate, and to get him to indict those people. Now, the magistrate or the judge, he kind of shirked his responsibility, and he pushed it back over there to the prosecutor, but that shook them up because they didn't know that those black people knew about that law, that they ain't got to go through the prosecutor to get an indictment. So the brother is talking on some very serious strategy that needs more discussion. Yeah. And one of the things we've talked about on New Abolitionist Radio, after we saw the Department of Justice report on Ferguson, where they documented all these crimes, even though they didn't prosecute nobody. But they, what we see is where there's a pattern of practice of racism and discrimination, and you're preying upon black people with policing for profit, which ain't nothing but slave catching and extortion. We need a group of lawyers that will start filing RICO charges. That's what they charge people under organized crime with. And we saw in Colorado where these people that didn't want to see marijuana legalization, they actually shut down the marijuana business by even though it's legal in that state, they shut it down by filing a civil RICO a lawsuit against them, and rather than the business spend money to defend itself in court over RICO charges, they just closed their business down. So how come we can't go after these police departments and these city governments on RICO charges?
I am with you total. I didn't finish. I just threw that in about the attorneys, but I believe in knowing the law as individuals. I have a law book and I have a law dictionary, which really saved me a lot of money. I've represented myself because my unemployment check was being garnished by my rental people because I wasn't paying them the little extra fee for keeping up the bonds. And I was fighting that because I saw rats out there. So they took me to court. Well, actually, they just garnished my check. But since I had been studying these books, I had discovered that you cannot garnish a government check. And since unemployment was considered a government check, I took them to court. And what I did, I just walked into the court office. I didn't know where I was supposed to go, but I walked to the court office and I said, I want to challenge these people. What do I do? She gave me a slip of paper. She says, fill this out. And then, you know, we're going to give you a date. And then you come back and da, 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 da. I didn't think about calling no attorney. I did all my research work. I had my little folder together and all my paperwork together. I got on the stand. I represented myself. The judge told the other guy, Terry, told the lawyer who was fighting me. He said, you were wrong. Give her back her money and you need to hire her. Because she has her act together. You know, because I was so, you know, I'm just one of those people. But I study, and we can all do that. There are so many laws out there to protect us, and, you know, we really don't need, I mean, it would be good, you know, if we had a good lawyer, but we can tell the lawyer, look, I know this. Put this up to the judge. You know, well, we can do our own homework. We can do our own homework and let them know. We know we have rights. Why aren't you saying this? Well, say this. Say that.
I'm sorry, caller, just a moment. We need to take our break. We take a break once every on the half hour. Just to let the listeners know, you are listening to the Lotus Place Radio, and they are, we are, I should say, we are engaged in a conversation around the Black student power rising on the campuses across the nation right now. Stay tuned. We will be back on the other side of this break.
Are you searching for the best in online Black radio? Then go to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, Black talk.
And welcome back to the Lotus Place. The telephone number, if you have a question. We are being hosted tonight by Sister Delta. Sister Black Rose is on the road right now, but she may chime in later. But the telephone number to call is 641-715-3660, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#, 549032#. Hit *6 and 1 if you want to comment. I just ask that everybody be respectful and let's not overtalk each other, because we can't hear when we overtalk each other. And I'm going to turn it back over to our host, Sister Delta.
Yes, thank you. And you know something, I agree with what Audra was saying about know the law, because truly we really need to know the law. Because when I went to court and fought for my grand jury for 5 years in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I did not know anything about the law. And I'm being honest, I didn't know nothing. All I did was went to church and wore my big hat. Did not know anything about the law until it fell in my feet, about, fell at my doorstep about my granddaughter. And I did not know that I could have took my grandkids and left the state. And do you not know they would have not came to Mississippi and got my grandkids? And it would have been legal, but I did not know that.
Wow.
I did not know that. Nobody didn't tell me. And they told me afterwards. They told me after. They said you could have took your grandkids because there wasn't water to the state. You could have took your grandkids and left the state of Minnesota and got your grandkids. I did not know that.
Callers, kind of watch your background noise, please. If your mic is open and you're not speaking, just mute yourself so we don't have that background noise. I'm sorry to interrupt, Delta. Please continue.
Okay. And I did not know that law, and I wanted Audra to know. I did not know the law. And if I knew the law, I could have had my grandbabies, but I didn't know. I was ignorant to the law and did not know. And when you don't know the law, they'll railroad you.
They will take advantage of you. They will.
They took advantage of me. And I owe one lawyer $32,000 and owe another lawyer $42,000. And that's not counting what I spent out fighting for my grandkids with my life savings. And I spent out about over $30,000 in cash money. And my son and the baby's mother gave me custody. So even though, you know, I did not, they didn't even follow the law. And the law says when the mother and father automatically place the children with you, they tell them they want the children placed with you, they supposed to automatically gave me my grandchildren. But they did. They gave them to a Caucasian family and paid that Caucasian family $6,000 a month. And so I am so glad that those kids learning the law and speaking up and not being silenced. But we got to speak up too about the about the young lady posting on Facebook that they can't go outside. They are afraid to go outside. They came she said this morning or yesterday, and she said they threw the brick. She said she saw them throwing the brick. And they hide in their room.
Was this you said this was on was this on the news, the video, or just on YouTube, or
She posted it on Facebook. I'll send it to you.
But it's not on. You didn't see it on the news.
No, that's what she's saying.
Oh, so they're not covering it.
This is what she's saying. That's what she was crying out. She was asking the news reporters, "Where are y'all? Why are y'all not reporting on this? Where are you at?" That's what the young lady was saying. Where are they?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Miss Patty.
I've been listening. I never heard the
getting
unmuted. This is what I agree with you that they do not follow their own law when it comes to us. They go and they do all kinds of things. And the only way we're going to get any place is to do our own law. The Native American people, that's what they're doing now. They're not hiring lawyers because, and most people don't even think of it this way, but to be very honest with you, you're never going to get a lot of good representation legally from a lawyer who's with the bar because they are really, you know, they're officers of the court. And there are certain things that they're just not going to do, number one. Number two, the Black Lawyers Associations, they've spent a lot of money to earn those degrees that they have in law. And they're not going to jeopardize that over something like this. You're not going to find a lawyer any place, period. You gotta, and if you find one, you basically have to do all of your work and give them, feed them what they need to be fed when it comes to this racial discrimination situations that are going on. And so I think we have to, like you did, Aisha, go in there, fight it yourself, number one. It's very expensive, like Mother Dunning, you're saying you had all of that billed and spent everything, and that's the strategy to drain us of our funds and to do things like that. That's one of their strategies, is to, that's a whole nother level of racial discrimination and harassment.
It is. And like the caller 808 said, the cousins and nephews and what have you, when you look at it on the scale of the justice system, the judges, the policemen, the attorneys, they're all one big family. You know, they all have to report to the same system. So the judge slapping the hand of the policeman is just like him slapping the hand of one of his children because they're all one big family.
Well, speaking on that, I'm sorry.
But not only that.
Go ahead.
Not only that, but the judges also got to be held accountable. And if you are an attorney, and if you not an attorney, but if you know the law, you can hold the judge accountable as well.
Yes.
And you can hold the attorneys accountable.
One thing about an attorney, if they have the title Esquire behind their name, that automatically tells you that they're not going to represent you. Because for one, Esquire is illegal. You can't. That's nobility, and they cannot have that. That's totally illegal. So if you see an attorney at law with the Esquire behind his title, then that's automatically illegal, and he's automatically in violation. And also, judges are attorneys too, because they was an attorney before they became a judge. So if they holding those titles as well, then they should be held accountable as well. And with the prosecuting attorneys, they are county workers. So they if the prosecuting attorney, if they alter documentations or fix documentation, they are supposed to be held accountable. Not only are they supposed to be held accountable, they are subject to, they can lose their jobs, and that's non-negotiable.
You know,
they can lose their.
I'm sorry. I was in a similar situation as Sister Delta, but it was my own children. It was my own children. And that attorney that my ex-wife had was a state attorney. Well, really not a state attorney, but you know, she worked at one of those legal, what they call it, legal aid firms and what. So she had a free attorney. right? So what this attorney was doing, I had one of the most expensive attorneys in this county at first. I was giving this man my whole check except for $50 a week. He was getting my whole check.
Wow.
Now, the lawyer, the opposing attorney kept filing all of these frivolous motions and stuff. And my attorney told me, he said, what she's trying to do is drain you and you're not going to be able to afford me. So he was like, I'm going to let your case go. I'm going to have to let you go like that. And he said, well, you got this much money in your account with me. I'm going to just go ahead and give it back. And so I was like, you know what? I'm reading it, the case file and all that. I'm like, this don't look that difficult. I got a computer at home. I can copy these documents and learn the format, and I can go file these motions myself, and then I can argue my custody case in court. And I dress for the part too. I wasn't no attorney, never been to law school, but I dress for the part. And so I was studying law. They had a library at the courthouse that was open to the public. Mm-hmm. Went in there. I studied the law. And then I asked for a summary judgment. I filed a motion for a summary judgment. What a summary judgment means that we ain't gonna go through all this BS no more. That I'm gonna lay all the facts down what I'm alleging in my summary motion, and the judge right then and there is gonna render opinion. It shook this white judge up so bad that, cause I filed a lot, it shook him up. He was like, the other attorney got mad, the white female got mad. And he was like, look, I can't go through all this today. I got other cases on the docket, so I'm going to have to continue this. You know what I'm saying? To make a long story short, I ended up getting my children. And then that's when I found out it really don't cost the, what you paying that attorney for is for that title and cause he went to law school. But in terms of filing the actual paperwork, it do not cost that much. It don't cost that much to file.
Yeah, it sure doesn't.
It sure doesn't cost that
only,
much.
Not only that, you can pay whatever filing fees that you have to pay. You can pay that on the back end because they have the so-called waiver form that you can fill out the waiver form and you can pay any fees on
the back end if
you lose the case.
Right.
More important, you don't even have to be an attorney. It's best that you not be an attorney. You can be a paralegal because a paralegal is not held at the same criteria as an attorney.
Yeah,
so you can be a paralegal and you can do the same kind of work and get the same kind of results as an attorney.
But bringing it back to the topic, though, about these black students rising up on the campuses, you know, to speak to solutions, cause we know the problems, and it's good to know the problems cause everybody don't know the problem. They don't know the ins and outs of the problem like we're discussing in detail right now. But in terms of, you know, Sister Delta was saying, you know, about why these black attorneys won't get involved and whatnot. All right. Right now we got black students all over the country that is rising up. That is where we need to start recruiting black attorneys and training them up to be those attorneys that we need before the system get a hold of them and corrupt them. Yeah. So that is just some food for thought.
Right. That's a great idea.
And then
we
need to figure out a way, because if you, like the young girl is crying on Facebook and asking people to bring attention. So we need to figure out a way and start putting it on Facebook and hashtagging and start
tweeting.
And letting them know what's going on and why the news people just not reporting it. Because this is what the young lady's saying. Why are they're not reporting it? Because,
you know, Black Rose was saying.
Go ahead.
Black Rose was saying that a lot of the news people track the black Twitter just to find out what's going on, and then after they see a lot of people tweeting, then that's when they make it the news. So, like you say, that's what we need to do. We need to push this out ourselves. Bring it.
Can I ask you a question? Do you
yes.
do you all realize that
the media don't have a lot of leverage on what they report on. They are told.
Oh, yeah.
What to
oh, yeah. They're bought. Yeah, they're bought. And, they're not run by the people anymore. I understand that.
Right. And they're not going to report. They'll squash a story in a minute. They have to go and ask their executive director or their
producers,
bosses what to do,
yeah.
Their supervisors, what to put on there. And
yeah.
It's just like everything else in this country. Anything that goes against the grain of equality and justice for us, it's just not going to happen that easily.
Let's look back at Ida B. Wells. They were so ashamed of all the hangings and lynchings they were doing, but she made such a big to-do about it everywhere. She just kept on hammering, and so they had to just face it. So we can't just say, oh, well, they're not going to do it.
Well, we have our own media, Sister Aisha. We have our own media. That is why I started the Black Talk Media Project in 2008. Listen, Malcolm X really blew up the Nation of Islam's paper, Muhammad Speaks. Marcus Garvey had a paper. I think Ida B. Wells had a newsletter. Our people have long been publishing our own news, okay? And we've lost a lot of our outlets. And that's why I started Black Talk Media Project as a nonprofit in North Carolina. And I've been encouraging other people to build your own media platforms, be the reporter in your community. We need to be the media that we want to see. We can't be looking to racist white folks in corporate media. We know how the game is played, and so we don't need to be going to them. They need to be coming. We need to be going to our own outlets.
You are absolutely right. That's how we're going to get out. Yes.
And then I believe a solution to Missouri would be that we need to write up that the Missouri student body need to write up a memoranda. All the students signed it, and you take it to the court and file an injunction against the school and the security company. File $20 million injunction. File a $20 million injunction against the school and the security company for allowing terrorists on their grounds to harass the students. So once you got a memorandum going that's in court, and you tampering with these people's money, and I guarantee you get that file that memorandum, I pretty much guarantee you they're gonna stop that. And you can file a protection order, restraining order against whoever is violating those rights. And at least that'll be in court, and that is something, or at least it'll be documented, and it is also something that if something happened to one of those students, then that is well documented that someone has been terrorizing them. And we hold a judicial system accountable for judicial terrorism, then we are, we're well in our rights and well on our way to filing international crimes against these people. And that's what I think we would need to be focused on.
And that's what we need to do, and I would agree with you. And so who's going to go there and do that?
I'm in the state of Hawaii. For this is my first time calling, and I was scrolling through Facebook.
808, we can't hear you. You please speak more loudly.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to let you guys go. It's been nice talking to you. I'm in a bad area. So
okay.
I'm going to have to let you guys go.
All right, thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
Because you know what, we do got to figure out a way. But like Miss Hattie said, like Icy Hot said, who's gonna go and do it? That's the problem. Who cares?
It's really not a problem. We need to find out who the young person is on Facebook that said that, and then does someone go there to do that, or we figure out who will go there to do that from St. Louis. or Kansas City. They need some help. They need some protection. And like the gentleman just said, there has to be some order of protection filed immediately or injunction. And like you said, that stuff is not rocket science. It's just a matter of going and filing fee. Put it in the hopper.
There's got to be some law students there too. You know,
there probably are.
But right now, like the young lady was saying on Facebook, she's saying they are so afraid. And that's what they came there for. They came there to cower them down, make them afraid, to make them not to be able to rise up again. What they saying, we gonna teach you, nigga, don't rise up no more. That's basically
Sister Delta, that's why the Black Lives Matter movement need to get off of that nonviolent stuff. Cause when John Crawford III, you had actual white people, where they do these open carry demonstrations where they carry around their rifles. They had been demonstrating for that man. They had been, cause he was openly, everybody saw the video. He got a BB gun, looked like a real gun, but it don't matter cause the law, Ohio state law say you have a right to openly carry a weapon. He wasn't threatening anyone with that. He was just talking on his cell phone. So that's why they have been demonstrating, and they went to a rally where John Crawford III's father was speaking, and there was some beef between the Black Lives Matter people and the open carry people, and saying we don't want no guns and this and that. And then John Crawford III's father said, hold up, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? We need to be able to defend ourselves, and we need to get up off of this. You know, nonviolence is the only way. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Okay. And so, they carry guns. They always expressing their Second Amendment rights. So why would you exclude yourself from expressing any of your rights? Now, we know we can't have guns and stuff on campus. We ain't saying that. But there needs to be an armed wing of the Black Lives Matter movement, or they need to get groups already out there like the New Black Panther Party that is in Houston, Texas, who've been doing open carry demonstrations to provide security. But we are in a war. This is a battlefield. And that's what, like you said, they want to instill that fear. Of course you're going to have fear because you ain't got no means to protect yourself. All right. So they just need to reconsider their position on, we don't want no guns and all. No, that's the Democratic Party crap. Okay. No, we need to defend ourselves, like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary.
Is there a way that anybody can contact the young lady that is saying this is what's going on down there at this point?
Yes, I'll send her a thing, Miss Hattie.
When you find her name and her contact, I will be willing to put some energy in to finding someone to go and make some legal filings for those young people on that campus. And see what we can pull out of St. Louis or Kansas City, because this is not about the University of Missouri at Kansas City. This is about the whole nation college system. This is just about like in 1930s when the Klan was born. The whole issue was, let's stop Reconstruction, y'all. So let's frighten them away, start hanging the fruit from the vines and all of that kind, from trees and all of that. This is not about Mizzou. This is about, let's keep them in their place all over this nation now if we can frighten these right here. And it will spread. So if we have to do, I really don't want us to lose that momentum of this injunction and a protection order on those young people there. But we've got to have somebody that has a real person that we can send some paralegal or some lawyer to file this paperwork, like Monday morning. This is what I'm talking about. I'm really not in for all this talk. If the young people need some help, let's try to get them some help right away, call it a day, see what we can do on that. That's what we really need to do, I think, immediately.
I second that.
You should not be afraid. They should not be afraid. And everybody down in Missouri knows the terrorist group that's doing that. They know the boys. And the policemen know them. Everybody knows them. So it ain't going to be
their cousins
be
and nephews. Yep.
The,
uncles.
And that's all. We need to help them go file something Monday morning at the courthouse. I am so serious.
Delta Kugel, you're going to get that information?
Well, I'm going to send her a message through Facebook. Okay.
I'm not the one for Facebook, I need a phone number or email, because Facebook don't do nothing but waste too much of my time, and I don't have time for Facebook.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying, I'm going to message her and send her my phone number and tell her to give me a call right away, 911.
Okay.
We want to help her.
Yeah.
Please contact
She's
us.
She's one of many, I'm sure, and she should not be afraid to go to school because they're defending themselves against
the
harassment.
She's hiding under there. She said they are hiding under their bed. And, you know, also, come to say this, also, they showed on TV that when they showed on TV, it was nobody in the study hall. They frightened the kids, so it was maybe four or five kids in the study hall.
Well, the students should not be frightened, because the hate group are harassing them because of their stance on being harassed. You know, like, I'm supposed to keep letting you harass me? Please. I don't think so.
I'm looking up right now, because I pulled this up once before for a program that I had did. And going back to our caller 808 about the law, if you see, it doesn't have to necessarily have racial language or even be like under hate crime. I mean, you could use regular statutes. Bullying, that falls under bullying. And the Justice Department, they have a form that you fill out in the complaint for bullying on school campuses. These are students. They have extra protections. And I will look for that information again. I'll share it with you before the program concludes tonight. But we do have to go to a break. But again, you know, I'm glad that he called in and brought that up, because this racial harassment, even though it's racism or whatnot, if Missouri or wherever this is doesn't have hate crime laws or bullying is a federal law that especially on the school campus, and that can be used against these people.
That's true.
All right.
I think we got to hit it from all angles. You could do the bullying piece with the new provost and president, and then still do a protection order around a legal statute. You got to hit this mess from every angle.
You are tuned in to the Lotus Place Radio Show right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Tonight we are just discussing some of the issues that are going on the college campuses as our black students rise up and show their power in numbers. If you would like to weigh in on the conversation, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. And of course, just hit *61 to comment. And I do see we have a person that wants to comment, 713. Hang on, we'll open up your mic on the other side. Just wait for Delta. Sister Delta to call on you to speak. We'll be right back in just a minute. Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how?
The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for Black people by Black people, if you are an independent Black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to the Lotus Place, which is being hosted by Sister Delta tonight. Sister Black Rose is out on the road. If she has an opportunity, she will chime in if she gets a chance. Sister Delta, you have two callers. You got a 713 and a 808. But I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to wait for you to tell me when to unmute their mics. I'm sorry, Sister Delta. I got you muted. I'm sorry.
808.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
808, you're open.
Yeah. Okay, this is 808. I'm calling back again. I've reached my destination. I just wanted to respond to the sister who was talking about the about her child that was in a grandchild that was in Minnesota. I am from Minnesota, and I have I've been protesting against police brutality in Minnesota for a number of years. And I did some work with Councilman Keith Ellison. That's the councilman for the state of Minnesota now, before he even became councilman. So a lot of mistakes that we have made during those protest years was that none of us knew the law. None of us, I shouldn't say none of us, but two mistakes that I seen is that we was not economically sufficient and none of us knew the law. We had knowledge of a lot of things, but we never knew the law. And we was all going on our feelings as, oh, I know this is wrong and they shouldn't be doing that. But here in Hawaii, I learned that valuable lesson while dealing with situations that I'm dealing with. And I told the judge, hey, judge, I don't feel that's right. And the judge was like, well, Mr. Hoffman, I'm sorry, but we don't go on feelings here. We do things based on the law. And once we... us as a people can get past our feelings and start doing things with our minds, I believe we will start seeing a lot of great achievements for ourselves. And we have to get past our feelings because it's, you know, we're being laughed out, we're being laughed off the face of the earth. And my experience with the law is that, and I'm dealing with it right now, police tried to murder me a couple of years back, and they have tried more than one time in the past. And I didn't know the law. I paid the attorney $40,000+.
Wow.
He did absolutely nothing. I lost my business here in Hawaii.
Oh,
I lost my home here in Hawaii. My wife was in immigration jail, pregnant with my first child. And so I was just going through a whole lot, not to mention that during that process, my second child ended up with a deadly disease that he almost passed away at. So, and I'm dealing with a situation right now. The thing that got me to this point where I'm able to talk to you guys in good standard is because I started studying law for myself. I couldn't talk to you 5 or 6 years ago because I'd be bawling in tears. The judge told me, hey, Mr. Hoffman, we don't go on. This is all about the law. And so now, since now that I understand that, so I'm applying these laws to the judge now. And so now they are running from me. They're ducking and dodging me now. They don't want to apply the law. They want to just talk to me like I used to talk to them. They don't want to put anything on paper now because they know I know how to defend myself now. And not only do I know how to defend myself, I am accusing the judge that he conspired with certain police officers to have me murdered. This is not no accusation. These are proven facts. It's on paper. So these guys are dancing, they still doing their corrupt things, but they don't want to deal with me now.
That's good. That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We do got another caller, 713, but before we go to 713, I found the information, ladies, that I was looking for. The website is, does somebody have some birds in the background or something that I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm in Hawaii, man. It's
wow.
It's 6 o'clock here, and those are actually not birds. Those are small frogs. They're called cookie frogs.
Okay. Yeah, I used to be stationed in Hawaii. That's where my ex-wife is from. And shout out to the people in Hawaii that is trying to regain their independence. Yeah, I was stationed out there. Listen, this is the website. Write it down. Remember it. StopBullying.gov. StopBullying.gov. And let me just read a little bit of information because I feel this applies to what these students are facing on these campuses. Young adults. Behaviors that are traditionally considered bullying among school-aged youth often requires new attention and strategies in young adults and college students. Many of these behaviors are considered crimes under state and federal law and may trigger serious consequences after the age of 18. They have some links. Is it bullying? How young adults can get help, additional resources. Now, here's how young adults can get help. It says encourage young adults to talk to someone they trust. Determine if the behavior violates campus policies or laws. Review student codes of conduct, state criminal laws, and civil rights laws. Report criminal acts to campus or community law enforcement. Consult the college's Title VI coordinator to help determine if the behavior is sexual harassment. Many college campuses also have an ombuds person or similar person who handles a variety of concerns and complaints. He or she can help direct the young adult to appropriate campus resources. Young adults may be reluctant to seek help for bullying or cyberbullying, although they do recognize it as a serious issue for their age group. Encourage young adults to report cyberbullying. I understand that a lot of these college students are being targeted through social media and on the internet. And so please check out that page. And I don't see the information right now, but you can even report these to the Justice Department. Now, I understand that what started this movement on the campus of University of Missouri is that the president was ignoring that they were filing the complaints and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if they filed criminal complaints or anything like that. But that is why now they got a new president. So these are additional tactics, strategies that they might want to incorporate and document this stuff and then put it on the system to do something about it. And if the system don't do nothing about it, then that's when you got to do what y'all been doing. Thank you.
And that's Black Rose 713. That is Black Rose.
I've opened up your mic, Black Rose.
Yeah, she might just.
The mic is open.
Yeah, she just might be listening. She had been on before, and I had opened up her mic. But Sister Delta,
okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
But let me get that website one more time.
I'm here. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, it's Black Rose.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you, my Mother Hattie. Even Mother Hattie for spending knowledge tonight. Thank you guys so much for hosting such an awesome show. But I missed this part about what happened, Delta, with this young girl hiding under the bed.
Can you hold for a few minutes, Black Rose? Scotty, go ahead and give your website out again right quick.
That website is easy to remember. StopBullying.gov. StopBullying.gov.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay, well. Black Rose, if you go into your phone, I sent it to you. If you go into your messaging on Facebook, there was young lady, you know me, I love to be on Facebook, and I just happened to be going through the Facebook. There was a young lady from St. Louis, Missouri, from the college. She was on there, and she was crying, and it caught my attention, and she was crying, and I stopped to listen, and she was saying that the KKK have came to the school, and she said, and this is, she's seen this with her eyes. She said they have came on campus, and they have been throwing bricks. And she said the kids are scared to come out their dorm. They're not even going to their class. They are staying in their room and hiding in their room and hiding under their bed. And she was crying so. And she was saying, where is the National Guard? Where is the news people to report this? Where is everybody? They are not getting any help. Nobody's coming reporting this. But she said, most of all, why is the National Guard there for their safety? And what the
not
KKK,
there.
They not there and they not reporting them. What it is they trying to put fear in these children. So these children, these young adults will not come and challenge them again. And if this is what they're doing. This is exactly what they're doing. And Miss Hattie came up with a good plan is that we reach out to the young lady, and Ashir, you can reach out better than me, Black Rose. And what we need to do is reach out to her. And Miss Hattie said that, well, we can get some papers drawn up and somebody to get out there and help her right away. And Scotty was giving us a website where that they have laws on the book so the young lady would not be afraid. And they not fighting for no right about no rap music or twerking or anything. They're fighting for just to be treated human and just to be treated equal. Give me due process equal. They're only asking, do not discriminate against me. That's all they saying. Treat me
well.
Fair.
They're saying don't harass me. I mean, that's why they got to the point of where they got to after filing all of those complaints. And then the president basically ignoring them when they said not handled properly. They weren't doing anything about this harassment. That is the same harassment. I wonder, did she document the Ku Klux Klan? How do they know it was the Ku Klux Klan? Because maybe she had some facts behind this when you file, that's going to be a good thing.
This also would fall under retaliation, too, because they're retaliating.
Yes.
Just like
yes.
somebody said
yes.
before, you know, when you bring some charges up against somebody and then all of a sudden your life becomes a living hell.
Right.
Because you demanded your rights.
That is absolutely correct.
Well, let me ask this question, Delta. Since you usually see CNN and MSNBC and all of that, has President Obama made a statement?
No.
I think it's kind of strange, him being a college professor and the president, that he has not spoken out on this issue. This is a national crisis from California university and college systems. Students are protesting, having die-ins, the dean at Clare, I think it's Claremont or something like that, one of those California system colleges. She had to resign for her insensitivity to a Latino student when the student wrote her and said that she doesn't feel safe. And this was like back in April. This wasn't like over the weekend. This has been some months ago. And this young lady, she's a Latina student, and she said that she didn't feel safe. She felt as if she was being treated unfairly. And she wrote to their dean, and the dean wrote a statement saying, well, we will try to improve our systems to include students that do not fit this university's mold. Some crap like that. But her words were, do not fit this university system or university mode, something to that effect. And so these students have been crying out for quite a while, from California to Oregon to Massachusetts to New York, down in, what's that, Missouri, even at Austin.
Did she mention Yale?
Did you lose her?
Yeah, we must have.
I think we lost her.
No, she's still on the line. This conference line that we're using been acting up. It was acting up on me earlier. She's still on the line, and it was showing her as talking, but we not hear anything. Let me mute her and unmute her, and let me see what's going on. Let me see. Here we go. No, that's the wrong line. All right, Sister Black Rose, okay, there she go. I think that's her. Sister Black Rose, that you?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, you know, I'm on the highway to Austin, Texas, and as soon as I mention Austin, Texas, the phone drops. But anyway, so even in Austin, Texas, Texas Southern, they're standing in solidarity with all these students. And not just in solidarity, they're making their own complaints, registering their own complaints. These students have serious concerns and complaints that have been ignored continuously. And this stuff didn't just start over the weekend or when Mike Brown was killed. This racial terrorism has been going on for far too long, far too long. And I'm so glad that these students are standing up in the tradition of the children that fought and missed school and crowded up in the paddy wagons back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, because it's about time that these students stand up. They know they're going through issues, because I know I did when I was in college. It may not have been as severe, but I mean, it was the climate. You know, I went to a predominantly white college. Hello, can I still be heard? Because I'm on the road. I don't know if the phone dropped. Can you guys hear me?
We hear you.
Okay. Okay, and so when I was enrolled at the University of Tennessee at Martin, which is like right next door to Kentucky, so you know how Kentucky is. And so those white students, they would try to make these slick comments, because a lot of us came in on minority scholarships, full pay, you know, everything, food, books, all that. And a lot of those white students, they would try to make these comments like about, you know, these financial aid students and all of this crap. And now their ass is on financial aid. And see, what they have tried to do with this whole movement of African-American students speaking up about the racial terrorism, now they want to group in the debt and all of this, you know, free tuition, which I'm all for. But I get tired of people trying to hijack our movement and try to include everything else. Next thing you know, it's going to be, don't terrorize transgender on campus. Well, goddamn, we're talking about don't terrorize everybody. Why you always got to try to hijack stuff and, you know, oh, we're going to do this and do this? Exactly. I don't want no transgender to be terrorized or discriminated against, just like I don't want a female or a Latina or even a male. I don't want a male to be terrorized. Other males or other females, for that matter. I think that everybody, if you're attending school, and particularly if you're paying to go to college, you should not be, whether you're paying or, the point of the matter, what I'm trying to say is, if you're attending college, trying to get an education, you should not be fearful of your life. And it's a shame. And I did hear about parents that were going to pick up their children from these colleges. Over at Howard, the children afraid to go to class. They had to cancel some class.
But you mean to tell this Obama hadn't bought his punk ass that for 2 words, but as soon as some little gay boy or gay boy or a gay girl or something like that get hurt, then he all up at the podium. I'm sick of this. It's ridiculous. He needs to stand up and he needs to say something. And since y'all love Loretta Lynch so much, tweet her ass. Tweet her. Where is she on this?
That's who I think. This is a Loretta Lynch. This is Justice Department situation.
Absolutely.
The president really isn't, it's not his job, but he could, of course, make a statement about it.
And like Delta said, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, but the National Guard has to be called up by the president. Am I right?
That is correct. Yeah.
The governor can too. The governor can call out the State Guard or National Guard.
It's each governor.
But the governor has to get permission.
From the president.
Yeah, they talk about it.
Actually, they don't.
The governor makes the decision, right. And then he calls the president. And see, that's what needs to happen in all of these states. If these children feel like they're unsafe, Where's the National Guard? My heart hurts for these children. I wish I did have a child at one of these schools, in particular Howard, in the nation's capital. And Obama, you ain't going to bring your ass over to Howard and say something?
Hey, can
I? Protesting in Columbia. His alma mater, take your ass over there and do something.
Sister Black Rose. Yes, we pay taxes and all of that and whatnot, but we saw that the Governor Jay Nixon, who did he call the National Guard on? He called the National Guard on the protesters of Ferguson. So we shouldn't be surprised when we don't see any movement like that. And that is why we need a Black Guard. Robert F. Williams had the Black Guard here in North Carolina when law enforcement was working with the Klan to terrorize Black people. And so we need to be bringing back our Black Guards and protecting our own damn selves. Why we always gotta go again? I'm not saying we shouldn't. Of course, we should make the request so that we can say, well, we asked you to do something about it. You didn't do nothing about it, so we handling ourselves.
Right.
There you go.
As soon as Castro and his brother try to send us over some help, then they'll be all on everything, just like they were with Katrina. I'm so sick of them leaving us out, hanging out to dry. I just don't know what to do. But I like the idea of, I believe it was Mother Hattie that was saying, and we need to just discuss that further, about the steps, the next steps that we should take in terms of bringing some type of awareness and assistance to the plight of these students. If they put their lives on the line like this to stand up and protest, then we as a people and as a community and as elders, we should be there to support them and help them in any kind of way that we can. I'm willing to put in some effort too, Mother Hattie. And I know everybody on this line agree with that.
I am too.
About that. Yes. Sitting up there letting these people terrorize our children like that. I'm sick of them.
When they're hiding under the beds.
Because they spoke out. That's racial terrorism. And Obama hadn't said nothing. Come on. Really? I mean, at least acknowledge this. I mean, this is a crisis. This is not just in the South, like Ida B. Wells said. This is not just happening in the South. We're going coast to coast on this business.
It's spreading. Oregon,
Massachusetts. I mean, just everywhere. Texas.
West Virginia.
I mean, this is ridiculous. These children are doing die-ins in the rain. This is sad. Obama and Loretta Lynch need to do something. They need to say something. Something needs to happen. If they're not going to do anything, like Scotty said, at least bring it to their attention. He needs to be shamed into saying something. How dare you, as a former professor, you know what's going on these college campuses, and you're not saying anything.
And going back to a professor, when he leaves the White House, he already got a job to go be a professor somewhere.
That's good for him. But while he's sitting up in that public housing that I'm paying for, I want him to get up and do something. Even Puff Daddy, sit up there and said, you know, Obama ain't doing nothing for black people. You know, you know, you didn't wait to look. He waited till, what, right, 6 months before the man getting out the public housing. But God dog, you know, come on. I mean, seriously, I don't mean to call him a punk ass because he is the president. But, I mean, just, I mean, for real, though, I mean, every time something happens to anybody else, he's up there at the podium. What, the little boy that was being harassed? The one little boy that was being harassed at that school when he announced that he was gay? Oh, shoot. Obama came all out, giving him a thumbs up, tweeting and everything else. We're talking about students all across the country. All across the country. Men, women, black, Latino, Asian. So this is not just one person that's saying, I'm gay at the graduation. After these people told you not to say this, you still said it. You know what I'm saying? In your valedictorian speech. And then Obama wanted to tweet, yeah, that's cool. I know you do think it's cool. But it is not cool that our children are afraid and that they can't obtain the education that they are there to attain. That's ridiculous. Okay. Those are my thoughts.
Those are good thoughts, Texas. Those are good thoughts. You know what? We just need more people. Like you said, we just got to start coming together and helping the kids. We just got, they made a big step. They made a major step.
And
the football team stepped up, and really the football team is the one really pushed it over the edge, because they the one took it further to do what they needed to do, because when the white man saw that he was going to lose his money, because you know he'll kill his own mama for some money, so when he saw he was losing his money, he got his behind up out of there. They got his behind up out of there because they said, no, you're not going to make me lose our money. And so these kids got a big momentum going, and we need to do everything in our power. We need to wake up and see what can we do.
Before we go to break, I mean, I'm just over here, and I don't want to be talking bad, but these are young men and women. All right, you know, and to us, they are our children and whatnot. But these are young men and women, and where the black young men on this campus? All right, again, I believe in doing things the right way and going through the procedures and whatnot. And if the Klan coming on campus and the campus police ain't doing nothing about it, and the Klan throwing bricks, well, you better pick that brick up and throw it back. Okay.
But you know, Brother Scotty, if the young men pick the brick up.
Look, no, I don't know that, Sister Delta, because I live behind enemy lines in a county that's 85% white. I went to a predominantly white school, and we beat them white boys down. Them white boys jumped up a couple of times, and we beat them down. Okay. We that's what you do to bullies. You bust a bully in the mouth. That's what you do.
You sure do.
You know what I'm saying? And you can't show fear because they feed off of fear. We need to get rid of this spirit of fear in our people, in our young children.
I agree with you. I have to say, I do agree. You know what? You're right. I stand corrected. Let me turn this down. Because I keep calling them children, and you know, like you said, Scotty, we view them as our children. But they are adults, and they do. All the men, they need to say, and the women too, because you know what? Sisters got to get it together, because these white girls be up in the gun range and all of these McGraw classes, ready to learn how to fight and beat you down. They're not afraid of us like they used to be. They will fight us and they will shoot us. And so these sisters, I know it's a lot of sisters that go to the gun range because there's a Huey P. Newton gun club here in Dallas. So, yeah, Scotty, you're exactly right. Pick that brick up and throw it back. It's time out for people being afraid. We have to fight back. We have to fight back in a number of ways. Those that can fight back physically, do so. Like Malcolm said,
how did he say it? Something about he's not violent, but if somebody put their hands on you, you better send them to the grave. I almost said MF in grave, but you better send them to the grave. Ain't that right?
That's
he
right.
He said
that's
if somebody put their hands on you, you better send them to the cemetery. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so that. So, okay, and so anyway, but yeah, they need to fight back. They really do. They need to fight back. If they're not being protected, if the National Guard is not going to come out, then we need the Black Guard. All these black like camping out, these pastors in the community, like y'all did in Ferguson, coming and making your human chains and all of that. Come on and pray on those campuses.
And where the Bloods and the Crips at? Where the Bloods and the Crips at? Y'all want to go to Ferguson,
yes,
and you want to protect businesses and stuff like that? Where the Bloods and the Crips at? I saw y'all out there in Baltimore in the Nation of Islam. Where are the Fruit of Islam at? Okay?
Where the Fruit of Islam? Where these gangbangers? Where these thugs and drug dealers and cap dealers? Where y'all at? What poking them at that we want to kick your door in for a TV and your iPhone? You know what I'm saying? You bad. Come on and protect us then. I mean, that's how the gang started out.
Yes.
That's what they were doing, protecting the community. You know, with the GDs. With the GDs. Come on.
We're going to take this last break of the program. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Just hit *61 if you would like to ask a question or comment on air. Sister Aja, I think, has the board, and she will bring you right on in. We'll be right back on the other side.
Sensation. Come up with my love, she doesn't even exist. Ignorance is bliss.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Brother Donnie, are you there? Before anyone said anything else, I wanted to know, and I'm trying to work this board, this is my first time, and I wanted to ask 804-329, did you want to make a comment? I can't tell.
Yeah, it'll put a question mark next to their name, so they just have to hit *61. *61, that'll put a question mark next to their name, and then you could go to them. But try to watch y'all background noise now when y'all call in. Thank you.
218. Did you have a comment? 218?
That's me, 218.
Okay, then 612-226. Did you have a comment or question? 612-226.
That would be me, Asha.
Okay. I didn't have a list of people too. Okay. Well, then those are all the question marks. 808. I believe you're the one from Ohio. Did you have another comment?
Hawaii?
Yes, Hawaii. Oh, that's the bird. I mean the frog.
The frog.
Okay. Yes. They're kind of loud, so that's why I had you on mute, because it's kind of loud coming on through the air. It's beautiful, but it's kind of loud.
Do we have another comment?
Yes, well, I think popularity over
we can't hear you. You have to speak up.
I said if all those other groups want to come out and try to gain popularity off the black struggle, then they have to participate only in the black struggle. They can't come out to try to gain something from what we're trying to gain. If they're going to come out to support us, then their identity, we support these students, we support these black people in their struggle. Because if anything, since we are the lowest on the totem pole, if we benefit anything, everybody else above us is going to benefit. So,
that's true. It'll go up.
So we have to understand that that it is a complete race to the bottom. They are attacking us from the top down. So they are after us. So we need to understand that if you're going to come out and say you supporting us, then your agenda should be our agenda. We support him. So we're going to ally with them on what they're saying, not what we're saying. That's what needs to happen. There can be no compromise. Support us in our struggle. You benefit from what we benefit from. That's it.
I agree with you on that. That happens a lot. That happens a lot. It's like the original focus was just taken hostage, right. And then it's on a broad scale. We want all of this, and they forget the original claim.
That's what it has to be strictly limited to what we are fighting for, not what they fight for, not what we want.
Right.
It's what we want.
Right.
Everybody else benefit after we get ours.
Right.
Yeah. So in that way, it cuts out all the argument on this and that.
Right. I agree with you on that.
It'd be what I want, and we all be happy.
Right.
Yeah. So that's. With that, I'm gonna have to let you guys go, and I appreciate you guys letting me talk on the radio. And
well, thank you so much for calling in.
But we have a show on Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday, we have another show on next Friday. We have one this coming up Sunday. At 9:00, so you can tune back in.
Okay, so you guys did a prayer for me because I'm still out here in Hawaii, a lone soldier fighting for me and my family. I've been attacked by the police, the prosecutor, and judges, and I have proved that they have been attacking me. Not just a simple attack, they have been trying to murder me. So My name is John Hoffman. So if you guys, I'm here on the Big Island. So you guys, pay attention to what's going on over here. Something still happen to them. So you guys hearing it first.
You don't feel a need to talk to your congressman?
Oh my God. All of these guys over here, I didn't talk to everybody.
I'm talking about Keith.
Well, I've talked with Keith Ellison. He has...
We can't hear you.
I said I talked to Keith Ellison. He did some things for me, but that's as far as it went. The rabbit hole is real deep over here.
Wow.
And these guys, the judges that's involved, they are... at some point they have been.
I wish I could get you in contact with this guy named Edward. I think he can help you with some of that. Would it be okay if Asha gave me your number so I can text you Edward's number, and maybe you should talk with him?
Yeah, that'd be great. Be great.
Okay. Asha, you got that number on your board, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, okay. I'm looking at it. I'm writing it down now.
Okay. We'll talk later and you give me that number, and then I'm going to text you Edward's number, and I think Edward can help you tremendously.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
he's been working with people that are in that situation, and he knows.
I've been wearing 8 or 9 hats over here.
Wow. I know the feeling.
Wow. And I was totally, at one point I was only at a 6th grade education running a business. They took advantage of that. The judge told me you either do 2-3 things. You go to school, get a job, or go to jail. I said, Judge, I had a business. He said, well, you got either go to school or get a job. So I decided to go to school and I built myself up. Now I believe I'm above average 12th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, college grade student with very high skills now. So they hate that now. And I'm not feared of them anymore. And they really hate that. And so they doing all kind of trickery to sabotage me. But with God invested me and keeping me out of harm's way and allowed me to keep attacking them and in the legal way and accusing and pointing out to them legally that they have been conspired to have me murdered. And according to the USC Title 1828, these guys should be on their way to jail for involuntary manslaughter, conspiracy, treason, and a host of other crimes, at least 150 years apiece.
Wow. So
that's what I've been doing, and they haven't seen me come into the courtroom. And it's fighting now. They are running from me, and not me running from them.
Well, we will definitely get back in touch with you to get some information from you and then hook you up with who Mother Hattie feels will be able to assist you. And we will definitely keep you also in our prayers, John Hoffman. Is that H-A-U-F-M-A-N?
H-O-F-F-M-A-N.
Okay, with that, okay.
And you know, I have Native was born. My family is an entrepreneur family down there. We have a poultry shop still down there that's 105 years old.
Where is that?
In St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. And my grandfather, he was one of those entrepreneurs that ran out of East St. Louis during the Red Hot Summer of 1919.
Wow.
So he shot his way out of there, and his dad was one of those great dads that used to sit on the porch and they used to say, "Don't fuck with Mr. Hoffman. He's one of those crazy niggas."
Wow.
So he used to sit on his porch with his shotgun, and they wouldn't dare touch him. So
he stayed ready for them.
Yeah, he stayed ready for them, and they never would touch him. They always gave him great respect. Because he stood up. And over here, I've been getting a lot of handshakes from white men that's telling me don't give up. I've been getting a lot of handshakes from white men that's every time I go into the court, they always give me pointers on what I should do. And tells me one thing, don't give up. So that was very encouraging, especially knowing that, you know, it's white and Japanese people over here that's harassed me and terrorized me. So the black folks over here, they either helping these people terrorizing me or they running totally away from me. But it's very encouraging that I have white guys telling me don't give up. Fight for what you believe in. And so they're impressed with
someone that's fighting for themselves.
Right. So I used to hate. I still have that tendency, but I'm getting past that. But I am totally concentrated on who is attacking me and my family. So, I'm $200,000 to $300,000 in debt, but that's okay. That's okay because I can suffer that to try and get total freedom for my family. I have a daughter 7, I have a son that's 5, and my wife. So it's just the 4 of us. We battling as much as we can. My wife, she's a real trooper. She gives me all the space that I need to do, all the work that I need to do. Even though sometimes I'm frustrated and I take things out on her, but she's still a trooper and she still stands by me. So that's all the encouragement in the world. A man needs that in his life, you know. So now I'm able to, I'm starting to recognize all of my errors that I caused upon her, and I'm able to start to do things to try to heal that situation while I continue to fight. I'm still upset, I'm still angry, still mad, but I can respect these people for elevating me to a real man, you know what I mean? So in spite of all the harm that they have caused me, I can respect them because they allowed me to elevate myself to a real man that can protect his family, that's willing to die for his family, so they can have total and absolute freedom.
All right, 808. Well, thank you for chiming in, and we hope that you'll stay tuned in to all the programming we have on blacktalkradionetwork.com and check us out. But you stay safe behind those enemy lines.
Thank you very much.
But you know what? We gotta be the warrior. We got to be the warriors for the young folks. That's basically what I'm saying. We got to get on our social media, different things, start tweeting different things, let people know what's going on. Because like the young lady said, nobody is coming. She said the media know they're not doing anything. So that's where we step up.
You know, Sister that's Delta,
step up.
Where them 10,000 fearless men that Farrakhan was calling for, where they at?
You know what? You show his life.
He
ain't walking the campus.
Oh.
You're absolutely correct.
Yes. 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 What was accomplished? What, I mean, that's a good question. That's a good question. They've had plenty of time to get there.
Yeah, and we know he unheard about it, but all they doing is coming and taking up the money. He ain't hearing no response.
Well, he on Twitter too. He on Twitter too, so we can tweet him and ask him that question.
Yeah, why don't y'all send some men down there?
Wow. And anytime you stand up against the system in a group, however small, in a way that is effective, the way this was this past week, then they should have already been ready to be on the scene, to expect retaliation, because that is their norm. It's their norm to retaliate, to make those who had the audacity to stand up and demand something and then get it, and then get it so quickly too, and get it, then they're not going to just idly by and sit by and have a cup of tea. So our people, they should have been there. Those men should have been there. They should have been ready for them to protect them.
Protect the young men and the young ladies. That's what they need. They need somebody to protect them.
And not just to protect them, to stand with them. to even if there had been no threat of the KKK coming in there, but just to rally there with them. I got your back. I'm with you.
Well, they ain't got time for nobody back. But like, if the football team get up and rise up again, we'll get some protection. Hello?
Yep.
But you know what? Like we said, we're gonna do what Miss Hattie said, we're gonna reach out and we're gonna go by this way, like Miss Hattie said. We're gonna go by Facebook, Twitter, and we're gonna reach out. Those are our main things we're gonna do. But we're not a violent person. And we want to be known. We're not violent. But we are not gonna continue to stand by and let the young folks be hurt. They cannot continue to be afraid to come out of their dorm room.
Malcolm X said that he don't even call it violence when it's in self-defense, it's intelligence.
Exactly. Exactly. They put these words on us and you know, just make us just freeze the words that they've created, and they give their own meaning to. Well, we don't want to be violent. No, we're not violent people. No, but when you protect yourself, if someone busts into a man's home and he has a family and he shoots them, he wasn't violent. He was protecting himself and his family. And we need to do the same. We have a right to protect ourselves. And it's an intelligent thing to do.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
It would make sense for the man to say, with the same circumstances, to say, after the man just came in the house and did whatever he wanted to do, molested the wife, beat the children, whatever, and left, and the man says, well, you know, I'm not a violent man. I don't keep a gun. That's his excuse. I'm not a violent man, so that's why all that happened. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, but I would like, before our time run out, we got 5 minutes. We would like to see Miss Hattie would like to give the Women's United statement.
Yes, I'll have to go get it. Should have warned me a little bit before. I don't sit around with that. Hold on.
Okay. Well, and also Miss Hattie and them got a very mysterious case in Minnesota where this young preacher, somebody's supposed to have been broke in his house and killed his wife. And all of a sudden, he's supposed to have been at the gym, and he comes home and finds the wife dead. To me, that's awful suspicious to me. You're going to come home and find your, you're going to come home from the gym and find your wife dead. So I want to, that's a case.
And on our okay, I have it now.
Go ahead, Ms.
Okay, and on our parting out tonight, there was also who was this? Was it a Secret Service man that was arrested today or yesterday?
Yes, ma'am.
For sending nude pictures to what he thought was a 14-year-old online. Anyway,
and he worked at the White House with Sasha and Malia.
What?
He sure did.
Oh, my.
So this is what we got working. Okay, here we go. The Women United statement. This is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women such as Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women that we've historically been plagued with, and they seem to have escalated in more recent times.
We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of Black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on Black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of Black women. To make your statement and act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. One more thing before we close out, Mother Donnie. I would like for us, we're going to be back on the show. Black Rose will be back on the show Sunday. And so I would like for us to have some kind of feedback or follow-up from the two things that we said that we would do. One was to get in touch with Mr. Hoffman, contact him, get some things rolling, not necessarily have anything completed, but at least by Sunday have contacted him, and also by Sunday have contacted the Facebook person. Can we all agree to make an effort to do that and have something to say about that Sunday?
Absolutely.
Mother Down? Okay, great. Because we want to be about action.
Yep. Our time has ran out. We want to thank all my hosts for calling in and helping me out tonight. I'd like to thank Scotty. I'd like to thank Audra. I'd like to thank Icy Hot. I'd like to thank everybody who called in on our show tonight. Please call back in this Sunday.
Thank you, Scotty, for helping us.
That's what I'm here for, ladies.
We really appreciate it.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Namaste, everybody. Remember to take a deep breath, breathe from your belly. Open up your crown and let your higher consciousness come through as you breathe.